Welcome to winter, right? It's a new season, it's a new year. And it's great to have you here and to be back together worshiping. When I came in here, I made some comment to the worship team this morning on this first Sunday of the new year, and I'm going, hold on a second. No, last Sunday was actually the first Sunday, and we were actually into the new year already. But it's good to have you here and good to be a part of our time of worship together. Today I want to begin a three-part series. I think it might be three, it might be four, it might go on past that, but we'll at least aim for three at the beginning in terms of focusing on spiritual growth. And right off the top, I want you to know as I'm working on this, it's like I feel like I keep speaking to myself. It's like, oh yeah, God, okay, thank you, all right, you know, and so, and you've been there already where you feel like you're talking to somebody else and you feel like, okay, God, you're just kind of speaking into my life here. I need to grow, I need to mature spiritually, I know that. And I'm just inviting you along for the ride. Come along. Join me in that process of growing. New Year's? I'm going to ask you seriously. How many of you make New Year's Eve resolutions? Some of you do? Good. Good. Bless you in that. I never did. I just don't. But I am going to this year. Because usually I find that people make those, you know, those New Year's resolutions. I'm going to exercise, you know, once, twice, three times a week. I'm going to eat less. I'm going to lose 10 pounds. I'm going to meet friends weekly. I'm going to spend more time, focus time with my kids. And then about a month later, all you sense from them is that sense of guilt because it hasn't quite happened like they imagined. But I want you to commit to me, or you to God, and I'm going to as well, that this year I want to commit to spiritually growing. And one of those areas that I find for myself is I need to read. And I need to read scripture and I need to read materials. And so I'll get back to that again in a few moments. But I just encourage you to make a New Year's resolution to grow. And say today, to this year, so that, and in that growing, make goals, specific goals. Make active decisions to say that, you know, God, by the time I get to December 31st, 2017, I want to be able to look back and say, God, thank you for I'm a different person today than I was back on January 8, 2017. I've matured, I've grown, I've been stretched. And that hasn't always been joyful, but it's been a growing time. So I encourage you to do that. Spend time in prayer planning on that. And know, and this almost sounds negative because it's a no, but I think it's wisdom. Don't make that resolution to say, starting tomorrow, I'm going to start waking up every morning at 4 o'clock in the morning and pray for 3 hours before I have breakfast and go to work. I'm going to start fasting and, you know, whatever for 2 days a week. Or I'm going to start plans for building an orphanage in Malawi. And maybe that's what God's going to call you to do. And man, I will bless you and encourage you and support you if that's what God's calling you to do. But it's kind of like mountain climbing. If I set my resolution, I want to learn how to mountain climb, and that's not what I'm going to do, by no means. But if I'm going to do mountain climbing, I start with the small hills. I will do some training. I will learn how to use ropes. I'll learn how to free climb. I'm not going to go do that on my first time out. Well, hopefully you're not going to do that. Some of you might say, I can do that. Climb that outcrop, and I can be there. What are the decisions, the goals that God is calling you to? And I just encourage you in that as you set goals and make decisions for growth, say, God, what is it that you want me to do? Where is it that you want me to grow? Is it in my compassion? Is it in my love for others? Is it in my willingness to serve? Is it just in my biblical knowledge? Is it just my time with you? Where is it that you want me to grow? And then set goals and set strategies and make decisions based on His leading. Because I think spiritual growth can be challenging. I suspect it'll be stretching. Spiritual disciplines may cause you and require more self-discipline from you than you've ever thought possible. And that's all right. Because if God has aimed you in that direction, if He has set that vision in front of you, it's going to be good and it's going to be right and it's going to be healthy. And He will cause it to happen if you're willing to participate. God created us to grow. We were designed, we were called to grow. Physically, God created our bodies to use fuel. How hungry are you? Doesn't that table look good? Yeah, it's almost bad to put that in front of people at this time of the day, isn't it? God caused us as our physical bodies to need fuel, to enjoy eating, to take in fuel, food, water, milk, nutrients, calories, vitamins, all of those kinds of things. And as a result, our body grows and it changes. And yes, we also need exercise, because exercise is also a component of that growing and development. Spiritually, I believe God designed us the same way. As his children, I need spiritual. You need spiritual food. We need to take in. We need to feed. We need to eat. We need to absorb. But we also need to exercise to function well spiritually. We need to be outflowing as well. We just celebrated the birth of Christ, the Advent, the Christmas season. Jesus entering our world, Emmanuel, God with us, entering our world as a human, fully human, but also fully God. Absolutely, totally dependent. And that, again, boggles my mind sometimes. You know, you have little ones, and we have little grandchildren. At times you just go, you know, this child is, you know, absolutely dependent on parental adult care. That baby needs Mary and Joseph providing breast milk to sustain, then moving on to grains and fruits and figs and et cetera, the fish, whatever that was, part of their diet in that area those days. Food that a young man's body needed to grow, develop. Spiritually, how was Jesus fed? And if we look at the, you know, the writings of Luke and even others, there's very little description of how Jesus was fed spiritually during those first 12 years of his life, actually 30 years of his life. Luke 2, chapter 2, verse 40. And this is right following the incident that we talked about last Sunday in terms of Simeon and that interaction with Simeon in the temple. Jesus was 8 days old. They take him to the temple, circumcision, the rites of passage as a child. And then Luke says, after that incident, the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And we see both components there, don't we? We see physical growth. He grew and he became strong physically. He was cared for. He was provided for by Mary and Joseph in terms of the physical aspects. But then it also says he was filled with wisdom and the grace of God was on him. Mary and Joseph took care of the one aspect, but God filled him with the wisdom. God filled him with a grace that could only come from his Father. Mary and Joseph were also vital parts, I believe, of that spiritual input. They took him to the temple. They taught. They instructed. They gave him spiritual nourishment as well, but it was our Heavenly Father who fed him. Age 12. Again, we go back to the temple. Luke, just a couple verses later. And it's kind of a, you know, as parents, again, you can understand some of that story. Remember, they took Jesus to the temple. It's a Passover, the celebration. There's hundreds and hundreds. I mean, Jerusalem is filled. They head out on their way home, and you remember the story. They're partway out, a day or two out of Jerusalem on their way. And it's like, Jesus, we thought he was with, you know, he's not with you guys. Where is he? And after hunting for a while within the crowd and the group that was traveling, they go, well, option B is back to Jerusalem. Turn the taxi around. No, it was turn the donkey and walked or whatever, back to Jerusalem. And it says they were frantic in that search for Jesus in Jerusalem. And as they found him, Jesus was sitting in the temple among the teachers of the law as a 12-year-old. Among the teachers of the law, listening and answering questions. And Luke says, everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. And even when he was challenged by his parents, like, don't you know, like, did you understand what you put us through? Don't you know we were looking for you? A very simple response. He goes, didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house? It's like, didn't you understand? Again, a 12-year-old. Spiritually wise. Jesus, fully God, but also fully human. created to grow in a beautiful spiritual dynamic way. Because that's the way God created him. That's the way God has created you and me, to grow spiritually. That's his goal. And again, the next verse, just before actually we get into Jesus' ministry at 30 years old, we jump ahead from age 12 to age 30. And Luke simply writes this, "And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." Another version states, "And he was loved by both God and man." Jesus grew physically in stature. He grew spiritually in wisdom. The wisdom of God was on him. The Spirit of God was infilling him. He grew, and so can you and I. And the amazing thing to me is I don't believe we need to beg God to cause us to grow. But I believe that God desires that we grow a whole lot more than you and I ever do. All he desires is saying, "Are you willing, Claire? Are you willing to grow? Are you willing to allow me to do in your life what I already want to do? Will you come along for the ride?" And unfortunately, there's times I think I probably dig in my heels and say, "Yeah, I'm a little tired right now. Can we do that tomorrow? Can we work on that next month, next year?" God wants me to grow. 1 Corinthians 3, there's a multiple of scriptures, and I'm just going to highlight a couple here where, again, scripture, writing, you know, our Paul and other gospel writers challenging people to grow. 1 Corinthians 13, Paul's pretty tough on the church here. He's basically saying, you as believers, you're still babies. You haven't grown. You need spiritual milk. You haven't grown to mature food. It's like, come on, guys, what are you doing? And then he says this. He says, "So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building." And the question is, are you inviting God to build in your field? Are you inviting God to say, "I want to do some building on you this year. I want to create a new spiritual structure in you. And I want that structure to be different by the end of 2017 than it is right now." And again, the challenge is, am I willing to let him build? 1 Peter 3:18, Peter challenges to grow in the grace and knowledge of God. Colossians 1:10, Paul says, "I pray that you would live a life worthy of the Lord, bearing fruit in good works, growing in the knowledge of God." God wants us to grow. Over and over, Scripture talks about this. And the question is, how are you growing? And this, again, sounds really negative. But folks, if you're depending on Sunday mornings here in church, this hour and plus of worship, if you're depending on that time as your only means of spiritual growth, and it's not because the messages are bad or because we don't worship well and we don't have good things going, but if that's what you're depending on, you're going to be sick and you're not going to grow. Because it's saying, like, physically, you say, I've got an idea. I'm going to eat one fantastic meal on Sunday noon. Great feast. Just indulge, enjoy it all, but then pack it for the rest of the week. I don't need anything again until next Sunday. And you're just cringing and going, that ain't going to work. And yet, so often we tend to think that's the way we can feed spiritually. Sunday morning's good. Doesn't work. Doesn't work that way. How do we grow in the grace and the knowledge of God? And again, some very practical things that you all know, that I know. Number one for me, get into the Word. Learn, dig, spend time in the Word. And that's my personal challenge again for this year. Talking to some people again, going, you know, there's some people that just have that ability to, you know, it's that verse and they rhyme off something and they go, and they can find it. And I'm going, okay, thank you, Lord, for a concordance. I can remember one word out of the verse or two words, then I can find it. I need to dig. I need to learn. Read. My comment this morning, you know, buying books. Right now I'm about 8 or 10 books behind. Last night I actually finished a great book called The Rest of God, and I want to read a little out of this morning by Mark Buchanan. Great author, great author. If you ever want to pick up something by Mark Buchanan, do that. August, Catherine and I were at a conference. I bought three books that week or that those 3 days there at conference. They're still sitting on my shelf under about two or three others yet as I'm working my way down through the list. My challenge as well is get to reading. And I enjoy reading. I love to read. Some of you say, I hate reading. I had a friend in Fort Erie, as a couple, she just didn't like reading. Resource media, right now media, there it is. If you don't like reading, there's a great way to say, I don't need to read, but you can get incredible amount of input and resource. Take time to worship with music. Take time to worship in prayer. Spend time with God. Go for an evening walk in the snow and talk to God and cry out to God and beg God and argue with God. Great times to do it. Nobody else will hear you, especially outside. Cry out to Him and listen. For some of you, I know that God speaks and causes you to grow through journaling and writing. That drives me crazy. I just don't journal. Some of you love it, and I know that. That's great. Some of you just need times of silence. You just love those times when you can just get away. Just put the kids to bed, and I just need 20 minutes alone. I remember hearing of a mom who would go lock the bathroom door, and it was like, kids, don't knock on the door when mom's in the bathroom. That's her quiet time. Practice serving. Invite God to change your heart, to grow your compassion, to increase your love. Practice serving, giving, sharing of your time and finances. Remember James 17, chapter 2, verse 17, says this, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, it's dead. Spiritually grow. Growth requires action. Again, kingdom food. But I want to talk one more aspect of kingdom food this morning. We're going to skip ahead a little bit here. We're going to talk about next week, and I'm going to spend a little more time, if you saw one slide in between, about spiritual rest. We're going to tie that one into next week, so we're just going to set that aside, because growing does require rest. You know that. Physically, some of you can get away probably in 2 or 3 hours of sleep a night. Not when you get old. Doesn't work that way. Spiritual rest is also important. We'll come back to that one next week. Kingdom food, and this is where I want to wrap up today. Great story. We need food to grow physically. We need food to grow spiritually. John chapter 4, and your assignment, your homework for this week is to read John 4. It's a great story, and you know it well. Samaritan woman, woman at the well. Jesus, his disciples have been ministering, they've been traveling, they've been healing. They're tired, they're walking, they're traveling back to Galilee, and they stop near a town called Sychar. There's a well outside of Sychar. Jesus says, I'm tired, I'm thirsty, I'm going to rest here a while. Disciples, they head into town to buy some food. And again, you know the story. Samaritan woman comes. This is the middle of the day. Again, not typical. Again, first of all, for a woman to be coming out to the well at that time of day, it just wasn't normal. And she was a Samaritan, but Jesus does the unthinkable. He talks to her. He begins a conversation. He invites her to give him a drink. And then he invites her to talk about and to consider receiving some living water. And in the process of that conversation, realizes that he is telling her all about her life, telling her all about her life. He knows everything about her life of sin, all that she has done. He understands her completely. She acknowledges that, Jesus, you must be a prophet. And then he does something amazing. He actually tells her, I am he. I am the Messiah, the one that you will worship. Think about that for a second. He had not even ever told his disciples that he was the Messiah. And now he's telling this Samaritan woman that he shouldn't even be talking to as a Jew. Oh yeah, but there's one item I left out. The disciples come back with food, and they're flustered. You read those couple verses, and you know John writes it politely, but I think the disciples are going, like, Jesus, you shouldn't be, don't you know you shouldn't be doing this? Finally, they remember, oh yeah, we went into town to get some food. Jesus, you want some food? You want something to eat? And Jesus says some amazing statements. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. disciples said to each other, did someone else bring him food? Like, what happened here when we were gone? My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. My food is to do the will of Jesus, to do the will of my Father who sent me. Food they know nothing about. And then, of course, he continues with a great teaching on missions. The fields are ripe, ready for harvest. We need workers. And then he does a practical example. By this point, the woman has gone back into her town, says, you got to come out and see this person I've talked to. You've got to come out and talk to him. He told me everything I've ever done. And of course, many of the town had come out to hear him. Many believe. He goes back and spends 2 days in a Samaritan village teaching, ministering, giving and doing, giving kingdom food to this body of non-believers who become believers, but also giving himself kingdom food. My food is to do the will of my Father who sent me. Food that restored him physically and spiritually. And if you will, give me just one moment. I mean, what are you going to say? You can't leave, right? I just want to finish with one short paragraph, and we'll come back to this again next week. Mark Buchanan says this. Jesus began that day, that noon, tired, hungry, and thirsty. He asked the Samaritan woman for water, but she gave him none. He was spent from his journey. But the woman's needs interrupted his own. The disciples brought him food, but he never took a bite. Nonetheless, his physical needs may not have been met, but he was refreshed. His thirst was quenched, his weariness lifted, because his food was to do the Father's work. And listen to this paradox. Work typically depletes us, right? Food gives us energy to do our work. Work uses up the energy, and so we eat again. And then we have to work to make the money, to buy the food, and so we're in this cycle. The harder we work, the more food we need, the more it costs. In a sense, word and food are opposites, but they exist in a relationship of mutual dependency. Our work provides our food and uses it up. Our food empowers our work and requires it. But Jesus speaks of a work that moves in the opposite direction. The more we do it, the fuller we get. The fuller we get, the more we want to do it. This work is food, a thing that nourishes, satisfies, and strengthens. We savor it. And we sit back content from it. Kingdom food, doing the will of God. We'll come back to that and look at next week again. What does it mean for you and I to eat kingdom food, to do the will of the Father? Does that mean I have to be a pastor or a missionary or a Bible school teacher or a... What does it mean for me to have spiritual food being fed as I do the will of the Father? My challenge again to you, to me, is how is God causing you, desiring you to grow? And I encourage you as you move through this week, don't make a resolution too quickly. Ponder, think, reflect, spend some time with God and say, God, how is it that you want to change me? How is it that you want to stretch me? How is it that you want me to be built into and grow? And then, God, I give you free way to do that in and through me. And let's go. Worship team.
Stand and join.
My heart and soul, Lord, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out. And that's the tough part, isn't it? Saying, Lord, I'm going to give you control. I'm going to submit my will to you. That's the hard part. And I just encourage you to do that, to walk in that manner. And as you do, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Walk in his grace this week. Blessings. Have a great week.